Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
BigSoftTitty.png.
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 Welcome to BigSoftTitty.png. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Demi.
Hi, we're going to get married. We just need to update people on that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it seems like, you know, we're just roommates.
Well, also it could very well, like, we could have forgotten.
That
we could have
married.
Gotten engaged, yeah. And then been like, why am I wearing a ring?
Yeah.
And what's happening soon?
Yeah. And why? And why do I have the numbers of so many strange people in my phone?
Yeah, God.
I mean,
so
I guess
many.
That's more about our wedding than weddings.
Yeah, normal weddings, I think, don't like make new connections in the face painting industry. But
I think that's going to be really nice to have.
It will be just lovely. I think that normal weddings hire things like our friends hired a harp player,
yeah,
a harpist for their wedding,
yeah,
which they did at like shockingly late notice.
Yeah, did they just like not have music and then think like, oh, we might need music for when
No,
we're
they
walking?
Had like a speaker set up and they were just going to like play shit off of their phone through the speaker, you know. Yeah, sure. And a lot easier for the harp person, I assume. Cuz otherwise they got to carry their fucking harp there and I don't know how you do that. I genuinely
think there's like a fucking crazy hardcore case that has wheels on it.
Because yeah.
Like harps are, how do you even tune a harp?
A harp is maybe the most inconvenient looking instrument that I can think of.
It's fucking crazy.
How does that get anywhere? And it has so many strings. So even if you take the strings off to transport it, it's like, okay, great. Now I got to spend 3 hours making sure that this goes instead of just gling, gling,
gling. Oh, fuck, I only put one string in.
They should sell you a harp with, like, that you can just add strings onto after you're done.
Yeah.
Like, they should sell you a harp that's, like, 6 strings. You go ahead. It's basically a guitar.
Mm.
We price it down.
Yes.
And then you come back to the harp store with your harp, and they can knock a hole in it and put more strings in it,
you know what,
whenever you're ready to play, like, cling.
I agree.
Mm.
You know what the fuck else they should do?
What?
Because I don't know how to play a harp.
No.
Why don't you put the strings in the song's order?
Yes, dude.
Right?
Yeah. Just make it the shape that is like, it plays like Super Mario 1-1.
Yeah.
And then anyone who wants to can like play something else.
Yes.
But I'm just going to run my hand along that like I'm like, like I've got a stick and I'm walking by a fence and I'm just going to.
Yes, I was going to say, I'm going to Freddy Krueger my way down that chain link fence, but it's a harp.
Mm.
And then just play fucking Ode to Joy.
Oh my God, that's so smart.
I know.
All right, well.
I know it is.
Okay. Sorry. Well,
we should do that. Why don't we do that? Let's make a...
If I had to guess, the things that are standing in our way are a complete lack of practical
jars.
Proficiency.
We could do it with bottles.
We could do it with bottles where we fill them up with enough water that we can go...
No, not blowing into it. We'll get like a dog to run past them with a stick tied to its back and it'll hit the bottles. That was my first genuine idea.
I know. I could tell.
Maybe a pig will run straight probably.
What makes you think that a pig is more commandable than a dog?
Pig races?
You know, they race dogs far more commonly and without incidents.
But we don't have race dog money. I think we do have, like,
Demi,
race pig money.
We don't have
any money.
Yeah. No. As far as you're aware, we have zero money and we can't buy anything ever. Okay? I just want to establish that. Because today...
I'm going to check with somebody else.
More fancy shoes showed up at the house.
Don't!
I'm just saying.
That's my money shoe. Shoe money moo. Shoe money moo. Okay? I'm allowed to get pretty shoes.
You are.
They look really nice.
They do look really nice.
What?
Oh, I just think they look great within the collection.
Do you want to go through your purchases, Tom?
No.
Interesting.
Well, it's not about me.
Why is it about me?
Because I struck first. And so now.
Yeah, I'll have to strike first next time.
No, I just think that I think that both of us need to never buy anything again.
I like to do it.
I know, me too.
It
feels
good.
It's fun
to do. But like I've been doing the thing where I get rid of some stuff that we just haven't used in ages or sell it.
Mm.
Sell stuff. Mm. You're not doing that. You're just acquiring more things.
Yeah, because I'm bored. Mm. And sometimes I need to feel something. Sometimes I need to go ahead and
That's
like,
I'm your fiance. Hi.
Okay, whatever.
All right.
I was talking about me.
Oh, sorry.
And then you were talking about you.
Weird. I don't know why I did that.
Must need attention.
I guess.
But yeah, no, not in a negative way, but you know, sometimes you're just sitting around and you're like, I need to solve a problem. Yeah. And the problem doesn't have to exist. The problem can just pop into your mind like...
We have problems that need solving too.
Absolutely.
But not the fun problems to solve that you need when you're bored.
Those are the kind of ones that you want to like, you actually need to think about and like send off an email about, and you have to concentrate on the wording of the email.
Whereas,
if I decide that my problem is I don't have a torch, and what if the lights go out? Or what if I want a torch?
Yes.
You know? And if my problem is I don't have a torch...
Yes.
Pretty easily solvable.
You get the torch.
Yeah.
Now you have a torch.
Hey, you know what? That sounds pretty good.
I bought a Jackery.
Yes. Now, would you like to catch people up on what the Jackery is?
I would love to couch them up on what the Jackery is. It is basically...
And why don't you get a little bit hotter on that microphone as well?
Because I've been listening back to the episodes and my plosives are crazy.
Okay. But I've been looking at the waveforms and they're you're non-existent.
Well,
in them.
Then we need windscreens on the mics.
I mean, yeah, we definitely need windscreens on the mics.
Well, the last windscreens got so dirty.
Yeah, everything sucks.
Okay.
Anyway, you bought a Jackery.
I bought a Jackery because I just really wanted one. And I think what I told you was like, this will be useful for like when I have my birthday picnic. And then I realized there's really nothing I have to plug in for my birthday picnic.
No.
I just want the Jackery really bad.
I didn't challenge you on that because I was like, I guess she wants to
really
bring
what
a
I'm,
TV.
Yeah, what I'm going to have to do is like buy a boombox because I already have a portable speaker, but I can't use the Jackery for that because it's like rechargeable.
We don't need a boombox.
We do for my birthday.
Oh,
I'm going to have to bring something fucking stupid to plug into the Jackery to my birthday.
I think we are exactly the same in that we look at a problem and we think to ourselves, what we need is to make this worse with older technology that breaks all the time.
Exactly.
Because that gives rise to a bunch of problems that you can solve by kind of concentrating at them.
Yeah.
And you don't need to think about the other stuff.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of the problems are just there.
Yeah.
But
I want to get to Canberra, I should buy a plane ticket. But what if I got a skateboard?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, might not get me to Canberra, but... I'm sure I can spend a few months optimizing that purchase.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking to myself, hey, you know what I need to get into?
The hurting
skateboard
myself.
And boombox review YouTube community.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I've done something that's, I think, fun.
Okay.
I haven't delved into ChatGPT, really.
Okay.
What? You seem sad.
No, that's a me problem. I have a slight headache. And
oh, okay.
So
I'm sorry.
I just am going to be allowing my face to slacken a little bit more than I usually do.
Okay. So where the fuck? Oh, there. What the fuck? Yeah. All right. So I.
trying to figure out what you're looking at on your computer.
It's all very confusing.
All of your browser tabs are just different little, you know, when Photo Booth came out and you could set the camera to like the wibbly one and then you could just look at yourself and go like, wow, we're crazy.
What the fuck?
That's what I'm picturing every single tab on your browser is just you, but like, what the fuck?
So I haven't been using ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And I thought like, that seems like a waste. I think that I could really fuck with this robot. This was my first idea, and it's the only one that I've done ever on ChatGPT. Because I'm actually, part of it is that I'm like shy, genuinely shy.
You don't want
to embarrass the robot or like ask it anything that it has to apologize for.
Okay.
Or I'm also worried that it's like going to somehow like programmably get angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's going to be snippy with me and then I'll sort of feel bad about myself and be like, well, I didn't have to talk to the robot.
You're having social anxiety with a chatbot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So what I said to... What's up?
Just nothing, nothing.
Okay. So what I wrote to ChatGPT...
Don't be afraid to take up space.
Okay. So what I wrote to ChatGPT was, please write me a parody of the song Michael Jackson's Bad about getting your head stuck in the toilet.
Okay.
So technically this is a head got stuck.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Well, would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love to. Please.
Okay.
Okay.
Your head's in a pickle, oh what a sight. You tried to flush it down, but it just ain't right. You're wedged in there tight, can't move an inch. You're in a real mess, let's call it a cinch. Come on, come on, lay it on me, all right.
What?
You thought you were clever, thought you were rad, but now you're in trouble. Oh man, it's bad. Stuck in the porcelain, can't break free. This bathroom escapade's a catastrophe.
Huh.
You reach for the plunger, but it's out of reach. Your friends outside, they're starting to screech. Your toilet bad, you know it. You're in a gym, man. There's no way to show it. Your toilet bad, it's plain to see. Your head's in a bowl and you're not feeling free.
Okay. Got to admit, I wasn't a huge fan until your toilet bad. Yeah. That's funny.
Your toilet bad.
Yeah, I mean, you are. That would, I don't know that I agree with the, I guess if you did have your head stuck in a toilet, it would be helpful to plunge the back of your own head.
I guess, like if you could, if you were bald and you could stick the plunger to the back of your own head.
But yeah, I don't
but
know.
But I don't think that the plunger is, that it's not, sir, that is not the intended use is what I would be saying.
I'm not feeling under threat.
Yes.
Is what I'm going to say about our buddy ChatGPT. But yes. It's an honor to see you collaborate with them in this format, Demi.
Your toilet bad.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not.
Oh.
And take it back.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I do take it back.
Well, what a beautiful little bit of ChatGPT. I fucking, man, it's crazy. Did I tell you about the email I got from some kid? I got an email.
That's cool.
I got an email from a kid asking me for help on his essay.
What?
Yeah.
This is what you're doing to gorilla professors.
I know. He was like, I'm a big fan and I'm just interested in your help on this essay. And I just would really love you to help out because this is like, I'm writing an essay about you.
What?
Yeah. And then he was like, I love your work as the satirical newscaster Jonathan Pye. This dipshit kid had gotten the wrong Tom Walker. And also, they'd gotten their email off of my website, I think. So they'd done it while staring at my face, and that I look a bit like him in the white guy brown hair stakes. But basically, this guy had emailed a comedian who I have no respect for.
Yes.
Or actor who like plays a character. I have and the no character's idea written who this fucking comedian. Guy is. So the whole character is, I'm a newscaster, but I'm actually going off script and I'm telling it like it is.
And this
I'm
is doing your it, character,
and
yes.
I'm doing an epic rant. This That's is not you. My character. I'm the other Tom Walker. It's portrayed by a Tom Walker of English extraction.
I see.
He is so annoying to me. I hate everything he does. I find it
Is it mostly
because so
he has your
name? Yes.
And he's more famous.
Yeah.
Yes.
But thank God, Jonathan. And also it's the fact that one time I did a gig and they used his photo. And he is so fucking haggard looking, dude.
Like, really? Oh.
Well, yeah.
I'm
you know,
look at this guy.
No, don't bother.
All right.
But he just looks like me, like plus two randomizers, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, this kid was looking for advice on like, you know, writing about satire. And I just replied to him being like, hey, man, actually, here, you know what? Let me find this
You're
email
read
that
the
I
email
sent to him.
About this child?
Well, it wasn't about the child, but it was to the child.
Yeah.
They were like, I can't remember what age they were. I think like 16 or something.
Yeah.
And they sent me this email that their email was, please, can you help a poor English student?
Oh, my God.
... I'm a 17-year-old student from the UK studying in Armenia and have decided to write a 4,000-word essay on how you use literary techniques to convey a deeper political message. I need secondary source material and was wondering if you were free to do an interview or just respond to this email that I could quote in my essay where I'll paste the draft below under my signature. For one thing, an interview is primary source material, dipshit.
Yeah, dumb fuck.
Secondly, this is a 17-year-old, a student, who has a signature that includes his LinkedIn profile.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so he has
he's decided to do an essay?
Yeah.
I hope, like, there was an essay assigned and
I believe it was, like, assigned, but this is such a crazy essay because looking at his, like, his citations, So his first reference is the Cambridge Dictionary definition of satire.
Oh my God. Okay.
And then the second one is a citation of a private conversation he had with ChatGPT. And I emailed him back with, haha, what's up? Sorry, brother, you've got the wrong Tom Walker here. I'm an Australian comedian and mime. I don't know the other one. My one note is don't cite ChatGPT, but that's because it's a sub-Wikipedia slurry of information. It's just all the scrapings of the web with no way to verify them. The info you've got from there is fine, but at some point, a real person said all those things, and a large language model came by and logged it, and then when you came by and asked, it regurgitated that info. I reckon find the real person, so you're not saying, quote, a computer told me this guy is so cool. Good luck with the essay. I just Googled Armenia weather, and it looks like you're in for a heat wave this week, so dress cool.
Tom, are you okay?
Yeah, is that not a fine email to...
It's an amazing email to send, but you didn't tell me about this until now.
This was
and
like...
And you put, like, some effort into replying to this kid.
This is no effort to me. This is no effort.
You Googled weather in Armenia, and you gave an opinion on using ChatGPT and a description of how it works.
Well, yeah, I just know those things.
Yeah, and then you wrote them down for this kid.
Yeah, whatever. Dumbass kid didn't reply. Oh, yeah, and I followed up with an hour later I sent, also an interview is a primary source, dude.
Why are you thinking, oh my God, Tom.
This is in July.
Jesus Christ. You didn't tell me about this.
No.
Who else are you emailing that I don't know about?
The one that's... applicable to the podcast is...
See, that's not what I asked, and that makes me think you are sending a lot of unnecessary emails.
Well, I don't know that I'm sending many of them. I'm not really emailing, like, people who aren't, like, in academia. But I do have... I did email someone for the podcast, if you'd like to hear that.
Go ahead.
So this is an email I sent after our episode where we talked about the study on the effect of a medical clown on IVF treatment.
Okay, I'm still mad about it, but go ahead.
I know, I understand. I emailed Professor Friedler, Professor Shevak Friedler, about the study. And I asked, basically...
Did you let them know that I'm mad about them?
No.
Oh.
No, I did not. What I did was, in some follow-up interviews, it said you helped devise the routine, drawing on your experience with mime and movement to create a routine where the clown played a chef de cuisine. I was wondering if there was any record of the routine specifically, either in a loose beat-by-beat or in a scripted form somewhere. Basically, I'm interested in any information about the routine. Everything about it is fascinating to me. And then he replied, "Hi, dear Tom, thanks for your interest in my study. Unfortunately, due to the constraints of our ethical committee, the routine could not be filmed or recorded. The idea was to enter..."
Because then you'd be like, oh, the lady in the foreground of that is full of cum.
Yep.
Yeah.
"I just know that there's a lady there who wants to get pregnant. Somewhere in the frame, I can just sense it. There's someone who wants to get pregnant.
You look pregnant wanting."
"The idea was to enter as a personage. The red-nosed clown did not work as well in this age group of women, so the chef de cuisine was developed, who enters the patient's space after the embryo transfer."
Don't say that. Don't say they enter the patient's space, please.
"He excuses himself and asks the patient the dish she ordered from his restaurant, and from there, things developed. It was based on the local sense of humor, in Hebrew, of course. The exact details are not so important as long as you maintain a good eye contact and good ambiance."
That's very cagey.
Yes.
To me.
"I did find footage of the routine." Despite him saying that it was not recorded because of the ethics committee, there is like a fucking Swedish or Norwegian news channel who went in and recorded Shevak just this other guy, who I've also emailed but hasn't gotten back to me, him just doing the rounds talking to these slushy ladies.
Yeah.
Mr. Shlomi Algusi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he was the clown who made the rounds.
Right.
And there's footage of him doing it. It's basically him doing like fucking close-up magic to women who are lying in bed.
That would be so...
He's leaning over quite close to the women as they're lying down. I can't stress
enough how fucking annoying and off-putting that would be to me.
Yes. Well... You know what? Would you like a quick Professor Smarthead staying in the world of the medical clowns?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, it's time for Professor Smarthead.
Evidence.
9, 7, the square root of pi.
Conclusions.
Albert Einstein.
Using evidence to come to conclusions.
Marie Einstein.
Confirmed.
White jacket.
Professor Smarthead's podcasting university.
You're here.
Right. This is the segment where I go through an academic article and relay it to Demi. In this case, well, we're going back to the world of medical clowns and IVF. I know.
This was a public episode, right? The medical clown?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, good.
So they did a study in the same Israeli IVF facility, and they did a kind of a follow-up to the clown study. Right? Different person helming it. And also, I didn't know this, but the reason that these studies are done in Israel is because Israel is kind of like a world-leading thing with IVF because Israeli citizens under 45 get free IVF for up to 2 children.
What?
Yeah. They want to make Jews.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
I see.
So there were 3 groups in this study. Clown group. They had a live, quote, personalized medical clown intervention. Film group.
An MCI. Yep.
Yeah, they had a quick MCI. Yep. I'm scheduled for an MCI. Looking down at your chart, it actually looks like you're due for 10 MCIs in a row.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we want to check if there's any point where these become unhelpful for the IVF. A film group. Where they would see not a live clown, but would instead just enjoy a film of the same clown. Just addressing a nurse who held a camera at her eye level in the same chair that the woman was
POV,
sitting in.
Yeah.
They were getting a POV. They would wheel a TV in and you would watch a POV film as if you were watching the clown.
Oh my God.
And the control group, who would receive no clown at all. The poor, poor, desperate control group. The clownless women of Israel. The routine.
Name of the episode, by the way.
The Clownless Women.
Yes, please. Write it down.
Okay, so the visit, which lasted for about 10 minutes, included a routine that was suitable for adults and developed especially for this study. The routine included jokes.
Yeah, not a lot of children getting IVF, huh?
No.
Getting a lot of children from IVF.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm, it is, isn't it?
Well, good thing we don't do it to kids because we don't want to get adults. The routine included jokes and magic tricks performed on a personalized, interactive basis by the clown, dressed as a chef de cuisine personage.
How is it
without a red nose?
You don't know them.
He is saying things like hello, and he's doing basically crowd work. Like he's interacting with them and kind of doing the same bits, but as a one-on-one clowning thing. The film was shown on a 29-inch flat-screen television mounted on a hospital cart.
Oh, my God.
Slightly above eye level to the woman sitting in the armchair.
Oh, she's in an armchair.
That's right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Put a towel down.
Okay. They probably do that as part of the procedure. They probably just, like, staple a towel to the woman.
Ah, yes.
That'd be funny if the IVF was so advanced that they were so focused on everything else, but then they forgot to get like non-suede furnishings. So yeah. You just had these obvious stains.
Dog bed couch. Hospital.
Half of the clown group said that the clown helped their anxiety. A 10 out of 10. Gave the helpfulness of the clown a 10 out of 10.
Is this clown was hot.
He's not.
He's not?
I can show you a picture of him, but he's just like a regular, I don't want to say a regular clown, but picture like an Israeli comedian and you've pretty much got him.
I literally can't.
Okay, well, that's what he looks like. And then he draws on a small, like pencil thin mustache to play the chef de cuisine.
Weird glasses on that guy.
Weird glasses. In the clown group, more than half of the comments were extremely enthusiastic. Would you like to hear some examples of the comments?
Yeah, I'd love to hear the extremely enthusiastic comments.
I really enjoyed the medical clown. It distracted me for a few minutes, and I laughed a lot. Amazing. For the few minutes with him, brackets, the clown, I didn't even think for a moment about the pain or the treatment. And then some comments were more moderate. Thanks for the idea. 10 minutes with the clown. Hey, wait.
Okay.
I see what you were going for.
Wow.
Or do I?
Impressive thoughts.
It surprised me pleasantly. And only two women noted that the experience was not positive.
So there are only two honest women in this study.
That is my feeling. Yes. And also I don't think that the study was very well explained to them. It wasn't explained that they were there to only assess the clown.
Hello.
Don't worry, you need 10 minutes. thank you for the good intentions, but I don't connect. And since I feel uncomfortable in such situations, it is difficult for me to express any opinion. Thank you.
Ugh.
And one person, the two negative thoughts came from the film study, which were, personally, I don't feel the need. For me, this is a time to rest. And the film disturbed me and isn't necessary. A lot of the comments were very general, not relating to the film, but only to the IVF unit itself.
Uh-huh.
For example, they would say, the care and attitude in the unit are excellent.
Uh-huh.
I like all of the medical staff very much.
The medical staff.
Yeah, which I think from their perspective probably doesn't include the clown.
I don't think so, no.
I'm going to go ahead and kindly omit the 10 minutes of clown from my proceedings because I basically think I'm doing like a customer review. I'm doing a Yelp review of the place that just popped a fucking sperm in me.
Yes.
And I want them to think that I like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to be negative
thank
here because that'd be bad karma. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the cum. Oh, yay. The cum I loved. You say you talk a lot about the cum because then you don't have to talk about how you didn't really care for the clown. But
yeah.
Hopefully they read between the lines.
Complimenting the cum is exactly like complimenting your friend's play on its lighting.
On its lighting, yeah. Or like, oh, I love your painting. I love the frame.
Yeah.
Yep.
One limitation of the present study was the fact that the clown and the film were offered only in Hebrew. While all subjects had at least a minimal knowledge of the language, some were Arabic or Russian speakers. Okay. So for some of the clown group, they simply had a man come in and speak to them in a language they couldn't really understand while showing them, like, foam balls.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they did find that physiological and emotional responses were more favorable than to a clown than to humorous television exposure. But I will say, I don't think you are putting your best foot forward by providing, as for the film, a film of the clown.
Yes.
I think that you know that you could have done something other than that.
Yes.
For example, make the TV available to the woman.
Mm.
Hey, you know what? You get to watch whatever you like. And I'm pregnant. I want to put on makeup right now.
Why do we keep letting Lady get pregnant? I love it.
Oh, God.
I mean, here's the thing. I think just somebody went so wrong in the study. I feel like I said something similar to this last time, so sorry if I'm beating a dead horse, but I just hate this damn horse.
Yeah.
But
I don't believe it's dead.
But someone's like, I think women having a nice time would make it better for them to get pregnant.
Yes.
But then you've introduced a clown, which is so... It's so, like, of a certain mind, like, that's how you met this. The idea comes from a clown lover. It doesn't come from an impartial party.
It comes from, you know what, they always say there are two types of people in the world.
Yes.
You're a woman understander or you're a clown lover.
Yes.
And this comes from someone who does not understand that I think there would be something more relaxing and probably closer to hand than the medical clown.
There are better ways to please a woman.
Hey, now I'm going to give you a choice between the medical clown or this steampunk contraption that'll finger you crazy.
Mm.
Actually, they probably wouldn't like that.
No, because I think they've had some stuff happen to them. But again, a massage.
Yeah.
A massage, a fucking, like, just some nice music.
Yeah.
I don't know, a warm blanket.
All right, we're going to take a break, enjoy the ads, or if you're on the Patreon, enjoy the theme song.
Yeah.
See you in a sec.
Bye.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Because women love to look at, like, that's the thing that I...
A man's muscular hand.
That's the one thing that I understand from, like, seeing on Twitter, people being thirsty over guys'
hands.
They're like, I like to, it's so cool when a guy has a hand.
Yeah, that's actually something that, like, through reading really shitty fan fictions to try and amuse myself, like, you know, like, this broad is crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff for the podcast. There's a lot of, he adjusted his wristwatch or he fixed his sleeves, and there's like a lot of attention paid to that. And I'm like, sounds like he's a fidgety bitch. Like, I can get it right the first time.
He shifted from side to side sexily and coyly avoided eye contact. Okay, that doesn't sound, he doesn't sound confident.
I watched his knuckles flex over his fidget spinner.
Oh, yeah. God damn it.
ADHD Draco Malfoy.
Oh, no.
You know it's there.
Of course it is.
I haven't read it, but I know it's there.
Yeah, I know.
Spend a lot of time looking for that dumb shit, and it never, it's too kind of, like, yucky to make content about, but it amuses me so much.
Yeah, that's something for you just off the pod.
Yeah.
You just like doing that.
Yeah.
And I understand.
It's funny when people are horny and trying to be creative about it.
It is really funny. It's really funny. It's funny.
So funny.
It's funny to be so horny you have to, like, write it down.
Yeah. I'm so horny, I made up more horniness.
Yeah.
That's what, like, I'm not, this isn't a full Into the Cosmo.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say I was looking into my new best friend, Jill. Her, there's just some really cool titles that she has for her sex and relationships articles.
I think these were on the most recent premium.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just
this episode, we first met Jill.
She's very good at titles as well. 9 Triceratops sex positions that are roaringly delightful.
Oh, what?
I didn't know Triceratops was a sex position.
No.
But it appears to be. So the classic Triceratops is, like, basically you're doing stand-up doggy style and you're holding the bending down person's hands.
Stand-up doggy style?
Yeah.
Comic the Insult Triumph Dog?
Huh?
As I remember, he was wearing a little jacket. And don't forget his cigar.
Now that's just good.
Okay.
Now that's just fun.
Take it back. Okay, so Triceratops style is just standing from behind.
Well, they've got the fun... They've got the fun pictures that are all in a very specific style in Cosmo in this day of age. It's these ones.
Yeah, they're the kind of – they're that corporate style that we all know.
Corporate style. Although there is, like, in trying to make it look like the person behind is thrusting, it does kind of look like he's doing a fart.
To me, no, because it's like straight outlines, it looks to me like he's got a shiny ass.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, that's
shiny.
A good point. I guess it's because, like, the – bink, the dink.
Yes.
That's coming at the movement lines are brown, that it makes me think of a fart.
Certainly.
They also, it's that corporate style where they're like, they do like, okay, the first 3 pictures are going to be classic lady and guy.
Mm.
And then the next couple is going to be 2 dames. And one of them has, even though there's no other details on the body, we're putting stretch marks on there because it's inclusive.
Yep.
And then some of them are going to be a little bit chubby.
Wow.
Not even that much, though.
Yeah, right.
Because we want to be horny about the sex.
Uh-huh. I love being horny about the sex. The
classic Triceratops is that. There's the sleeping Triceratops.
Okay, if I had to guess, that's going to be it, but, like, on the floor?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. There's the flying Triceratops, which is a pterodactyl.
Okay.
Which is, and don't grab their hands, grab their elbows and their hair.
Okay.
And go crazy.
All right, so there's a bunch of Triceratopses.
There's the trihorn. It's like, really put the tri in Triceratops by adding a lady's pussy.
What?
To the front of it. Get a lady to come
have a threesome?
Just have a threesome.
That's not a sexual's position.
It's not a sexual's position, that's right.
It's not. That's a whole fucking commitment.
It is.
The lady is not just for one position.
Exactly.
This is my, like, puppies aren't just for Christmas talk.
Yes.
She's going to still be there.
She's going to be there, and she's going to be like, anything else for me? Or
Jill's still hanging out, dude, after she gets lacklustily eaten out by someone who's preoccupied with being plowed.
Yeah, basically you're just having someone's nose hit you in the clit every now and then.
Inquisitive dog style. She got really doggy style.
Yeah. The kneeling triceratops, whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, the triceratops, all it seems to be is you grab their hands and they're facing away from you. There was also a really cool, so there's the role reversal where it's like, hey, whoever usually does the bumming, you do it instead.
No.
And then there's the leapfrog, which is not a triceratops.
Mm.
But look how cool this position is. Look what the lady's doing.
That is a, oh my God. Now, Demi, that is a man. The drawing I'm looking at is a man on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like in, I would say, the normal doggy position.
Yes.
And then the woman is
a goblin. She's a goblin casting a spell.
She is doing like a full squat hands are out in front of her. And she is basically going, meh.
Like she's casting a spell with her fingers. She's doing like a slab squat, leaning forwards and going, ooh.
Crazy.
Anyway, I really like that. The wheelbarrow, also not a triceratops.
God damn it. They fucking love the wheelbarrow.
They really love it. The double truple.
Okay.
Which I think is just a typo.
Okay, fair enough.
And it also, a lot of it seems to be about nine, the double truple. Leave no hole unfilled. If you're being penetrated anally, have your partner use their free hand to finger you or use another dildo to mimic double penetration, says Moore. Or you can have it the other way. While your partner penetrates you vaginally, they can put their finger on your anus or use a vibrating butt plug for mind-blowing O's.
What, are we in a hurry? Are we in a fucking hurry to finish the article? We can't just spell out orgasm? God damn it.
Just with the leapfrog.
Yes.
The receiving partner squats down with their feet on the floor rather than kneeling, says Tatiana Dyachenko, sex therapist.
What I want to do is essentially gatekeep getting fucked.
Yes.
Because this is available to a very small portion of the Western audience.
Yeah. She says, basically, you squat like a frog, but like a sexy, in-control frog.
Huh. I see.
Yeah.
See, the thing about it being leapfrog, this, like, the.
Eventually
the,
you're going over.
I guess, but, like, the name for it is froggy style, right?
Right.
We don't need, because there's no. You're not finishing and then, like, okay, now do me. And like, pushing down hard on her head and going, jumping all the way over. Your wet cock scraping along the back of her neck and then hitting her in the back of the head. Now do me, now do me.
Yay.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, Demi, that, what a wonderful little non-Into the Cosmo trip into the Cosmo that was.
Yeah.
Do you want a segment from me?
Yes.
First off, we have a brief listener mailbag.
Yay.
Yay.
I got a brand new piece of mail that I want you to read. I think that we should get together and see what these words mean. I've been staring at it a while and I realized I can't read. But I got a brand new piece of mail, I think my eyes are bleeding. La 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 mailbag, big soft titty.
Thank you to Dr. Jeb for that theme song. Here is the first email we have. This one is sent in from Joseph.
Okay.
Just got an ad telling me to get my flu vaccine at GERB, and I can't find anything called GERB. Do what you will with that info, but I had to let someone know. So I guess if you know what GERB is, let us know.
Please let us know what GERB is. If you're affiliated with GERB, if you've heard of GERB.
Please, any GERBers out there, let us know where to locate you so we can get our vaccines. And also, whatever vaccines are at GERB, just head over there and stock up, everybody.
Yeah, just get some vaccines from GERB, if you can find it.
Yep. Now, that was sent in. I think they meant to have the subject be podcast ads. However, it has been sent in as podcast ASD.
Oh, no.
Which actually does bring us to the other portion of the emails, which is thank you, everybody, for your many emails diagnosing Demi with autism.
Thank you.
I will now read a short sample of one.
Yes.
This is... okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
This is a follow-up because I started listening to the new episode immediately after I sent the last email, seeing as I was already in a BSC.png state of mind, and now I have to add some shit. I am autistic and even received a whole-ass diagnosis from a doctor to that end at the age of 27 or something like that, even. So here's some Professor Smarthead shit for you. Demi, after listening to your entire podcast, it is my expert opinion that you have what we call a lot of autism. It goes on, this email. It continues for 1,167 more words.
Oh, and you say that you are autistic also? And what is your hyperfixation? I'd love to know. We're not making fun of you. That's just really funny.
It is. Thank you very much for the email. That is one small portion, but the phrasing... A lot of autism.
That's, yeah.
Is just so perfect. Yeah. I needed to read that out. I won't be reading out the rest of the quite genuine diagnostic email.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody. It's...
I'm not sure whether it's useful for me to know, but I sure do know it.
And also, I'll go ahead and say this. Don't do this to any other podcast.
No.
You've
no,
done
you
it,
can
to,
do it
us.
To us.
Don't you fucking do this to
don't
anyone
do,
else.
Don't do it to anybody
right?
else.
Mark Maron doesn't need you emailing in.
Actually, I would love that. He really annoys me. Email him and tell him he's autistic.
He would fucking hate that.
He would get really mad, yeah.
Oh, God. Not autistic.
Not autistic. Hey, autisterinos.
We have another email here that I'll just end us out on because I do have another segment I want to get to. This one comes to us from Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I was listening to another podcast the other day.
Oh, okay.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Fuck off.
Fuck you.
Why? We're not good enough.
We hate you. We hate you.
We
hate you.
We have more than one episode. Listen to the rest.
Kate Lister. And if you have listened to the rest, listen to them again.
Yeah.
Start again. Kate Lister's excellent sex history podcast, Betwixt the Sheets, and thought you'd appreciate this.
Okay.
I have followed this podcast as a result of this email, but I haven't listened to any episodes yet because I got it today. In an episode about the history of lubes, they briefly discussed Gun Oil, a lube brand aimed at men,
oh,
if you couldn't
God.
Work out from the very manly name. It was invented by a U.S. Army veteran.
Veterans just need something to do.
They do.
And it always turns out to be like a Kickstarter or a small business.
Veteran products often are like putting manly stuff on stuff so guys who either did serve or don't serve can like... Get their masculinity fixed.
Yeah, or
it's true.
Putting the American flag on something.
Yes. During one of the recent wars in Iraq or Afghanistan, I forget which, sorry.
Okay. Okay.
He and his colleagues used an ammo shack as a designated wanking space.
Nice.
And used actual gun oil as a lubricant. I thought this would be something you would enjoy laughing at.
That is absolutely horrible.
You don't like the idea of someone wanking with gun oil?
That is atrocious.
It's a bit too on the nose, isn't it?
It feels like it would be caustic in some, I guess not. I mean, it's oil, but come on. Don't put your prick in it.
I would think that.
It would have a smell, wouldn't it?
I don't think I need to jerk off with lube. And maybe that's just me being like, well, who am I? The Prince of Thebes?
But you have.
Who am I? Royalty?
You have a foreskin, though, and a lot of American guys don't.
Oh, fuck, that's true.
And so maybe they do need lube, but I would think that that kind of lubricant, and it is lubricant.
Yeah.
Not for your wee-wee, but it is lubricant. So, like, I would just think that because it's oil and not, like, a water-based type thing that, I don't know, maybe you're going to get, like, dick pimples.
Yes.
Right?
I
like if you, like, say you used olive oil, I would even think then, like, you'd probably get, I know that back in the day, gay men would use Crisco as lube because it was cheaper than, like, actual lube.
Yeah.
But it still seems like, aren't you just going to get, like, a fucking rash or a pimple?
Are you saying that these guys who enlisted in the US Army might have not have the best, like, long-term risk assessment? Well, otherwise, more interestingly, I don't know if it's more interesting. It's already plenty interesting. There's an ancient Japanese recipe that uses boiled seaweed to make lube, which is also a natural spermicide.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
cool.
Natural spermicides are usually like, they don't like this, but don't use it only.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know, this works good if you're in like the 1700s.
Yeah, and pretty much only then.
Yeah.
Don't rely on it.
Because the whole world is also an infanticide.
Yeah.
Like it is. Yeah. The whole world is still very cruel to children.
Yes.
So you're not going to have many of them.
Yeah.
If you don't want, but also don't rely on the seaweed.
Yeah.
Just stand in goal. Anyway, thank you everybody for those emails. And Thomas also signs off saying, cheers tremendously for doing the podcast. I'm working my way through all of your episodes on Patreon up to episode 231 so far. Hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, we've done a lot of Patreon episodes, haven't we?
I don't think that's the amount of Patreon episodes that we've done, but...
No, we still have.
Okay. All right. We still have. It's true. I also have gone to Gun Oil.
Mm-hmm.
The wonder. Have you got something in your eye?
I do, yes.
Oh, no. I thought perhaps I'd done something interesting and you were winking at me.
No, I have something in my eye.
Okay, do you want to use your hand to scrape it out or are you just going to keep winking?
My hand isn't going to help it. I'm going to wink it until it gets out.
Great. I'm on gunoil.com
mm-hmm.
to check for the ambassadors. There are a lot of big, sexy men who use gun oil. One of them is called Coty Young. C-O-T-Y. I'll say this, it's a lot less heteronormative than I would have expected from like a veteran-backed lube business. There's a lot of
hey, we can be the F-word now in the army.
Well, yeah, they can tell.
Yeah.
And they can ask. You probably shouldn't ask.
Don't
anyway,
ask.
I did want to show you just that gun oil does come in a bottle that is designed to look like a bullet.
Not even that much like a bullet.
It is a huge whiff, honestly.
Kind of a bullet, sort of.
They've almost made it look a little bit almost like a bullet.
Almost, but probably because of just like health and safety, they haven't been able to give it that like quite that bullety shape.
Well, yeah, because
it's
otherwise,
bullet shaped ish.
There's a risk that someone might put an actual
fall down on it. Yeah,
get shot. Yes. Yeah.
They didn't even make it like silver or gold.
I put a bullet up my butt and then I sat down really hard and the bullet went bang and it went up into my butt.
Went up into my butt and then in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I got butt bullet.
And that's how I died. St. Peter. Okay.
That's enough.
Well, I asked for your name. first right for guys who get to... I mean, it says here you died in battle.
So the question was, is that your signature?
Oh, man, what a fucking all-timer. Anyway, that was the listener emails. Thank you, everybody, for sending those in. I have here one last segment, Dan.
Go ahead.
May I?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'd really like that.
Well, this
we're
one...
both in pain. So
yeah, we are, aren't segment. We? God, it does suck to have a headache.
Yeah.
I think my problem is I drank too much caffeine.
And it gave you a headache?
Yeah. I think that's where I'm at. Or maybe like, I don't know if creatine does that. I'm back on the creatine.
Maybe. If it's only happening now that you're back on the creatine, maybe.
I think maybe I had a bit too much creatine also.
I used to get a headache when I would have creatine, but I used to have way too much of it because it was funny.
See, I just had way too much of it because it was funny.
Ah.
Well, not because it was funny, but because like like one way of taking it is to do like 20 grams a day for a week and then go to a normal dose.
I see.
And that has me being like, maybe I shouldn't do this because my head hurts now.
It could be any of the stuff that you've done wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
That made it feel bad.
It's still not as bad as when I was taking creatine before and being like, man, this sucks. I know it's supposed to be like good for, you know, your exercise regime, but creatine is really kind of making me feel bad. And then I checked on the creatine. Had gone off like 4 years ago.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, oh.
And you get mad at me for eating like month-old hummus.
I don't think I'm... I think I've done that once with the creatine. And you do eating the month-old hummus with stunning regular... I had to take the month-old hummus away from you after you discovered that it was a month-old hummus.
Huh?
Okay.
What are you talking about? Start like speaking to a mouse in your pocket or something? Because I did not hear that, what you said.
Well, sorry.
That's really weird.
Don't worry about it, Mousy. This segment does not have a theme, but it's a cherished part of the Big Soft Titty universe. It's time for What Did My Google Alert About Poop Bring Us?
Yeah.
I love my Google Alert About Poop.
Yep.
First off,
this is the first title of I Love Lucy.
Hmm. I can understand why that didn't keep. What's Google?
I just call it Lucy.
Initially, we were going to make Lucy a large company, but that it would prove too difficult to shoot.
We made it a red-headed woman instead.
Much easier to fit into frame. Mm-hmm. The first thing I have from my Google email about poop is GOP. Well,
Gulp.
And we all know what that is.
Yeah.
New Jersey GOP candidate who smeared poop on daycare blames Obama.
Hey, me too, brother.
State Assembly candidate Joseph Viso Jr. admits to the gross crime, but as a caveat, points out that Obama came into office the year before. This is a guy who smeared poop on the doors of a daycare center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
He's also been convicted previously of a bunch of drug and gun charges.
Okay.
Given 2 years of probation in 2019 after being charged in 2014 with possessing a sawed-off shotgun near a school, possessing a gun while committing a crime, and multiple drug offenses. They raided my house and found a gun in my house, he explained.
Oh.
I live near a school.
Cool.
Yeah. In 2009, he smeared fecal matter on the doors of a children's daycare center in East Rutherford.
Was it his?
The daycare center or the feces?
The feces.
You know what? I don't know. They don't actually clear up whether it was his poop or perhaps a dog poop.
Mm.
I would think, guy like this, it's up in the air.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't strike me as the person kind of guy who would, you know what? He would probably have a dog. It'd be a really shitty dog.
Really bad dog, yeah.
Yeah. So he probably would have it available to him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy to like bag up his own poop.
No, but maybe he didn't bag it up.
Yeah.
Could have just done it into a glove or a paper towel.
That's true. Viso had a dispute with the daycare center, which was next to his business, and he told the Globe that daycare employees harassed my men every day. They had cars ticketed every time my men parked on a side street. I don't know that that's something that the daycare center has the power to do.
No.
But at some point, he said he decided to get even by smearing poop on the handles and locks of the childcare facility. After the investigating officer told Viso that there was video evidence of his poop smearing, he apologized and said, I'm not proud of what I did.
Now that I'm caught.
Yeah. He told the Globe he later cleaned up the dookie stained doors. It was done before anyone got hurt, he said. I'm not going to defend it. I was a young man. It was a horrible time, and I made a mistake. Viso, 52. said. Obama came into office the year before.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay.
He was a young man, he was 39.
Yeah, all right. So, okay.
39. Hey, who hasn't been there? Just a fun fun peek into the world of American politics.
Just a fun peek into the type of guy you can be.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm physically conservative. What about the other stuff? It seems more freaking democratic with smearing poop. And then the other poop story I have for you is Customs seizes box of giraffe poop at Minnesota airport.
Mm-hmm.
They found some poop and they seized it. And after they seized it,
they eatsed it.
The passenger arrived at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport from Kenya on September 29th.
So, can you just step out of line? It's about the box of... My box of giraffe shit!
Why, anything you can say to me, you can say to the box. The passenger declared...
Obama got in last year!
I don't like... Sir, I don't know if you understand the framing of what you're saying, but that's very offensive. No, it's not.
No. There are some very tall doors I need to defile. So I thought I'd get the tallest shit that I could find.
We need to wipe this onto some cathedral doors. The passenger declared giraffe feces, which is freaking so random.
Freaking
spork.
So fucking...
Do you have anything to declare? Giraffe feces, monkey spoon.
Yes!
The passenger declared giraffe feces and stated she had obtained the droppings in Kenya and planned to make a necklace. Yay!
That's wonderful, dear.
Hmm. We're sending you back for being too quirky.
Hey, yuck.
The traveler said she had previously used moose feces or foosies to make similar jewelry at her home in Iowa.
Why? Hey, why?
Gotta do something.
Have you heard of beads? Have you heard of charms?
Yeah. Not everything needs to be used for something.
Yeah, and sometimes, not everything needs to be made out of shit.
Poops can just be poops.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
There's often. Actually better things to do with poops even. Like if you were doing it with trash that doesn't biodegrade, I think I'd understand. But poops can be good for grass.
Yeah, make something out of like plastic.
Right.
The agency's agriculture specialists seized the box and the excrement was destroyed via steam sterilization, which I think is going to be an agency lie because obviously they ate it.
Obviously they ate it. Oh, they eatsed it.
They eatsed it.
After they tooksed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. What's that you're bringing in? Delicious box of giraffe poop, is it? Oh, goodness.
She's like nervously sucking on her necklace while they're interviewing her.
Hey, Jerry, it looks like this little lady thought she was going to get this big box of giraffe feces past us. Oh, really? He's putting his napkin into
his... Yeah, it's a lobster bib.
Into the collar of his shirt. They go on to say there is a real danger with bringing fecal matter into the U.S.
Boo! We want to talk about poo-poo and caca.
Yeah, and they go on to say that one of the reasons you can't bring ruminant animal feces into the U.S. is that you need a veterinary services pervert.
Pervert?
Oh, my God, I said pervert.
Veterinary pervert. No, no.
Oh, no. I meant permit. The agency note permit. The agency noted Kenya experiences African swine fever, classical swine fever. That same great taste.
Oink.
Oh, fucking hell. Newcastle disease, foot and mouth disease, and swine vesicular disease. A lot of pig stuff.
A lot of pig stuff.
Pig and swines. And that's just... A beautiful little story that also led me to find out that people make necklaces out of giraffe poop.
They'll fucking make necklaces out of any fucking shit and thing.
That's true. I think necklaces have a very low barrier to entry. If you want to, you're like a person who wants to have the world's worst business idea, necklaces are super easy to make. They're just a string and some crap.
Yeah, I saw a Facebook marketplace. Like, this was just in the wild. I was on Facebook marketplace.
Yeah.
I saw a lady selling her handmade necklace. And she was like, yeah, I made this out of fabric scraps.
Mm.
It was just three strips of brown fabric that she tied around her neck, and she was selling it for $10.
Fucking hell, dude. We can tell how much labor went into that.
Yeah.
And don't, if you want to charge me $10, don't tell me it's scraps.
No.
God damn it. That's so annoying.
So stupid.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, though, I feel like. With just necklaces, you can find someone on Marketplace just being like, I've found some stuff and now it's jewelry.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That's just still stuff. You can put it up there.
Or you like went to Kmart. I can go to Kmart and buy the crap you used.
I think that jewelry is obviously, hey, anything can be jewelry.
Yeah.
But then it has to be worn again for it to actually be jewelry.
Yes.
You know? And a lot of the times, something's just worn once.
Yep.
If that, the person who made it will be like, yep, I did my little art. And that's fine. Go ahead, do that. Yeah. But don't fucking list it on Facebook Marketplace.
Just leave it alone.
Facebook Marketplace is for, I don't know, seeing what hobbies men have had to drop since the divorce.
Yeah, or looking at the funny pictures of people trying to take a photo of a mirror.
Oh my God, they're so good. I love the ones where it looks like they're trying to dodge out of frame as the flash goes off.
Yeah.
That's really good to
me. I like the one where they like know they're in frame, but they don't know what face they make when they're taking a photo.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Just take it from an angle.
Yeah.
Why is it that hard?
Because the rest of the shed is full of nude men.
And where is the shed?
Around the mirror.
I have to go to the mirror.
All right, thanks so much for listening to BigSubTitty.png.
Hello. Would love to see the mirror in situ. All right, thanks, everybody. See you later in the week on the Patreon for the ad-free bonus episode, as well as the ad-free this episode that you just finished listening to. Thank you for hanging out. Goodbye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.